Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is appropriate that we begin this Advent season in this way, surrounded by this hope represented in the panels of the AIDS quilt. It's a new beginning for us, and an honor to share these memories and this confidence with our brothers and sisters throughout the world. When we threw all of this stuff up, how many of you wondered, who's going to clean that up? That may be exactly our problem. We are worried about who's going to clean up the church and keep order and make it all look nice. And sometimes we worry so much about it, we worry about it to the exclusion of the joy of Jesus. Sometimes we are so busy trying to keep order and hold back the chaos and make sure that things happen in a certain way and in a certain order and that certain people do them, that we lose the incredible frivolity and joy of the gospel. I would propose that maybe we need to think about that. In this Advent season, when we truly hold in tension this birth of the Christ child and the coming of Christ again, the lessons call us to keep watch. And I wonder how it is that we will keep watch. When I was in college, I had a really good job. I was the night security officer for 3 women's dorms. Yes, it was tough duty. And at 11:30 every night, I would report to the little desk, and every half hour on the half hour, I would have to walk through the women's dorms from one end to the other and make sure that the frat guys weren't coming in or weren't already in, as often was the case. It was a good Lutheran college, Texas Lutheran. And at the beginning of the shift, I would always be ready to go and awake, and I would do my homework. But as the shift went on, I would have to find other ways to try and stay awake. And I would do crossword puzzles. I would do all of these kinds of things because I was on duty until 2:30 in the morning. And I had Greek at 7:30 in the morning. And so I would try everything I could to stay awake, but almost inevitably at some point I would find myself nodding off. In a way, it may be that that's what's happening in the church. That no matter how hard we try to stay awake, there are times when we begin to nod off. This week in confirmation, we were doing our lesson, and we were on the last two Ten Commandments. And we did our whole bit, and it came time for the break. And all of the kids, except for one, ran out, played tag, got their water, went to the bathroom. But one little girl came down, and she said, "Pastor, I have a question." And I said, What is it, Sierra?" And she said, "I want to know what is happening to our church." I hate those kind of questions. And I said, well, what do you mean, Sierra? And she said, well, I remember when I was a little girl, our church was full every Sunday, and it's not anymore. Why is that? Well, she wasn't talking about my church, so I didn't have a good answer. I said, what do you think, Sierra? And what she said just blew me away. She said, I don't think people are paying attention anymore. I think they're not passing the faith down to their kids. I think they just don't care. From the mouth of a 13-year-old, we hear a truth. Here we've received this promise, and we ignore it. I also recently received a fax from a church in Nebraska that was complaining about the demise of the church, and their biggest concern of the moment was the movie The Golden Compass. It was a 2-page fax encouraging me to let all of the children of our congregation and parents know that this was the devil's work. And that if we let our children go to this movie, they'll start worshiping demons. So I went to their website, and it says, pick your demon, which is supposed to be your spirit that you wear on the outside. And I thought, this could be interesting. So I took the questionnaire. My demon turned out to be a whippet dog. Do I look like a guy who'd have a whippet? The point of all it is that we keep looking in the wrong direction for the threat of the church. The greatest threat to the church will not come from Hollywood. It will not come from demons. It will not come from other religions. The greatest enemy of the church is us. It's our apathy. We're not paying attention, Sierra said. And she's so right. Here we are in the new year with an opportunity to begin anew in the promise of Jesus Christ, to hear those words from the prophet Isaiah. In the mountain, the Lord's house will be established and be raised above the hills, and many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God might teach us God's way. And he will judge between nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Both Jesus in Matthew and Isaiah point to the same preferred future that God has in store for us. And it is clearly a future of hope. But as long as we cling steadfastly to a course which is not God's, but our own, for as long as we continue to simply be apathetic and bored and boring, I promise you, we will miss the promise. We'll miss the opportunity to celebrate grace in every moment and in every action. We've become so accustomed to ourselves that I sometimes wonder if that's not who we worship. But there's an alternative. To live with a kind of boldness in the gospel evident in Jesus. You know, when we throw up paper in the church, the first thing we worry about is who's going to clean it up? And oh my God, what a mess. And is that man crazy? We're so afraid to party within the church because we're afraid we'll fall outside of the parameters of what's acceptable or what's right. Instead of sharing love. But there's an alternative. We don't need to worry about the mess on the floor. We can choose not to worry. We can be bold in our statements of life and faith, and we can take risks. You've already done it. You're surrounded by a risk. 2 blocks from here, one of our churches refused to put up panels from the AIDS quilt. That happens every day. We're afraid of what people might think. They might identify us as some kind of bunch of weirdos and sinners. In boldness, we clearly show to the world with these panels our love for Jesus Christ and that we are unafraid to take a risk. Do we all agree? No. And we don't have to. That's the beauty. We don't have to agree that this is a good thing. We just live it. We don't have to agree that there shouldn't be paper on the floor. We don't have to agree about much of anything, to be honest, because it's only Jesus Christ that draws us together. We can choose to beat swords into plowshares. We can choose to live well in the earth. We can celebrate with abandon the love of Christ in our lives. Nothing from the outside is going to kill the church or the body of Christ. It won't die a violent, horrible death. It will die feeble, apathetic, and forgotten. Unless we hear these words of God, be ready. Figure out how you're going to stand watch. Will it be with fear and trembling about what people think? Will it be with courage and boldness and forgiveness? Will we watch with our eyes wide open for the possibilities of God's grace? Or with blinders to see only the narrow way of the world? The choices are not to be saved or not saved. That's already been done in Jesus Christ. The only question is, how will we keep watch until he comes again? Amen.